I want to ask you now, and I'm going to ask you again, and I want you to keep doing it all the time in between. Please pray for me. If you could just pray for me now, that I'll be able to speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear in your hearts what he wants to say to you. And let's entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So this is obviously our homily during Mass, and it also kind of coalesces with our first retreat conference. So I want to give you some content, but also reflect on the readings. And fortunately, they go together quite nicely, even if they don't appear to at first glance. We're reflecting this weekend on the importance of the spiritual gifts. How many people are familiar with the charismatic renewal? If you're courageous, how many people are not? This is your kind of your first experience with a charismatic renewal, or okay, a couple of you a little bit on the okay, good. Well, we'll have a little bit of catechesis. The reality is that we're all new to it, because the Holy Spirit is always new. You know, in the Byzantine Church, do you know what the color of the Holy Spirit is?
Green.
That's right. So that worked out kind of nicely, huh? Because of life, new life. What comes up every spring? Even a bulb that has bloomed 100 times blooms for the first time this spring. It's always coming up new. And the Holy Spirit is always coming up new. So as much as we kind of get used to him, we learn the dance, at the same time, we're always thrown for a loop. He always keeps us on our toes. He's always doing something new. As Jesus promised in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I make all things new." And so we can expect to be, open our hearts to be, prepare ourselves to be renewed this weekend, no matter where we are in our journey. There's always something new. The Lord is always moving in a new way. The Holy Spirit is doing something new in us. But our particular topic for the weekend is focusing on the importance of the new evangelization. That's the word that we hear over and over again. If you haven't heard the new evangelization, send me the number of your pastor so that I can give him a call. And no, I don't know. Then pull him out of the grave or something. I don't know where he is. He's got his head somewhere, not breathing the air of the church, I guess, because it's like everywhere, to the point that I gave a talk in a diocese a couple years ago, and I was going to talk about something with the new evangelization, and I was talking to all the priests in the diocese and the seminary and heard about the topic, and he goes, "I think that word was banned in our diocese because it gets overused so much." It's like, uh-oh, I better do an apologetic here at the beginning of this conference. But we actually hear about it so much. The point is simply that we need to be on mission. That's what Pope Francis has called us to. Every Catholic, every Christian is only Christian insofar as he is on mission. If you're not on mission, you're not Christian. That's the fundamental message. If you're not on mission, you're not Christian, because it's essential to the church and it's essential to Christianity. So hopefully I struck a little bit of fear in a few of your hearts. How do I go on mission? The spiritual gifts. See, that just brings us right into the topic of the conference. That's so helpful. Because if we go back to the Second Vatican Council, which not only has a spirit, it has a content, and it's worth reading that content. And we look at the dogmatic constitution on the church in Latin called the Light of the Gentiles, Lumen Gentium. The council fathers say, it is not only through the sacraments and the ministries of the church, that's what they talked about in a couple of previous paragraphs, very important, essential, that's why we begin the Mass with the retreat with Mass, It is not only through the sacraments and the ministries of the church that the Holy Spirit sanctifies and leads the people of God and enriches it with virtues, but allotting his gifts to everyone, according as he wills, he distributes special graces among the faithful of every rank. Whatever rank you might be in, you fit into every rank. All of us is in a rank, whatever the ranks are, right? To everyone. By these gifts, he makes them fit and ready to undertake the various tasks and offices which contribute toward the renewal and building up of the church. According to the words of the apostle, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. Profit in Latin is related to fruitfulness, not profit. Don't think economics. Economics leads us astray. Fruitfulness. These charisms, charismatic renewal, right? Charisms. These charisms, whether they be the more outstanding or the more simple and widely diffused, are to be received with thanksgiving and consolation, for they are perfectly suited to and useful for the needs of the church. I'm going to give you a quiz on that tomorrow morning. Because that paragraph is so important for us. How do we go about the renewal and building up of the church? How do we go about the new evangelization, which is involved in the renewal and the building up of the church? We allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. We allow the Holy Spirit to give us, to empower us with his gifts. Because his gifts are not just a personal thing. Sometimes people say, well, it's not my thing. Well, maybe you mean certain kinds of praise music or praising in certain ways. You're not obligated to do that. But to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it better be your thing. Because it's the Holy Spirit's thing to give us his gifts, to empower us for the building up and the renewal of the church. That's what he's doing. Now, it happens to be that doing a little bit of praise and getting out of ourselves a little bit, stretching our, being a little uncomfortable. We talked about this. One of the songs was, "In your presence you wash away all fears." And I'm just thinking about how anxious we can get, like, oh, I'm going to like raise my hand this much. Oh, that's enough. Let us allow the Holy Spirit, let us allow the presence of the Lord truly to wash away all fears. What are we worried about? We can praise God. We can do that. Again, this is not a matter of obligation or imposition. It's not a matter of some being better and some being worse. It's a matter of getting rid of judgments, first of all, on others and from others. It just doesn't matter. These things don't matter. But then really allowing the Lord to work in us and to give us his gifts. So we're going to have a time of prayer tomorrow afternoon for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we'll try to be open to whatever he wants to do with us. And he works in a lot of different ways. Somebody went through the effort of gathering together all the different places in St. Paul where he talks about his gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to read the list to you so you can start to see the extraordinary gifts. And sometimes we focus too much or at least a lot of attention on those, especially in charismatic places. And there's a point to that because we're less inclined to be open to the more extraordinary gifts because we disqualify ourselves in different ways. We disqualify ourselves out of fear. We disqualify ourselves because we think, well, it's, you know, that's for somebody else. Somebody else can do miraculous healings, but that's not for me. Well, it's not your choice, really. If God wants to give you that gift, use it, because the only people you're depriving are those who need the healing power that he wants to give through you, that he may not give through anyone else. And maybe there's a person suffering from cancer because you're too worried about how you look. That's a terrible thought, isn't it? But just the point being openness. Try to set aside those barriers or disqualifications. But among those extraordinary gifts, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. It's a lot of beautiful examples of people speaking truth into the lives of others. Being able to call out lies, being able to claim victory for the Lord, being able to give a word of hope and encouragement, consolation, faith to believe in the face of extraordinary circumstances, healings, miracles, discernment of spirits, prayer in tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the one extraordinary gift listed by St. Paul in every list is prophecy. And he says, I wish that all of you prayed in tongues. He says that, but even more so, I wish that everyone would prophesy. Because prophecy, simply said, is being able to speak the Lord's words. So that's what we're trying to do, and that comes out in different ways. Sometimes, and we have examples in Scripture, that it is foretelling future events. Sometimes we focus too much on that one quality. Other times, there's a matter of reading hearts. We recognize, I know a woman recently was telling me, she was at a charismatic prayer meeting. She's had a lot of stuff going on in her heart. A complete stranger walked up to her and said, the Lord knows, and he listed like four things. And she goes, whoa, what's going on there? And he's with you, and he wants to take away that fear, and just started praying with her. And she was like really struggling and really doubting whether any of this stuff was true, and just spoke right into her heart. We know those stories from a lot of the lives of the saints too, people like Padre Pio, but this woman was just, you know, your average housewife, right? Was there at the charismatic prayer meeting. You don't have to be a crazy saint with his hands bleeding out 24 hours a day in order to read people's hearts. So a prophecy, but most often prophecy comes in a way of encouragement and consolation. We need that so much. To be able to speak into where people are suffering, where they're struggling, to be able to speak a word from the Lord that's not just, you know, pious trappings, but it's really truth. Prophecy really can be spoken in power. But then a lot of ways that our other more ordinary things are enhanced. And the difference between a spiritual gift and just a natural talent in these areas is the kind of joy that it brings us. When it's a spiritual gift, there's a joy there. Because even though I'm doing a somewhat ordinary thing, and even a thing that nobody's noticing, I feel really good about it. I love to do that. And then we also see a supernatural fruitfulness that comes from it. We say, wow, there's, you know, things really fell into place. We just did this whole service, and it was amazing to see the fruits of it, to see the way people responded to it, to see the way that the organization all came together. So we get the supernatural fruitfulness, and then other people will also acknowledge it in us. Say, wow, you're so good at just putting these things together. I have a confrere who, like, he notices everything. In a good sense, you know, when somebody's not showing up to be the cantor or something, masses, you know, morning prayer is getting ready to start, he's right there, jumping into place, taking up the slack. He does it so seamlessly, nobody even realized that there was somebody missing. You know, he's just always looking out. Things are coming to a point. Like a week ago, he sent me an email. He says, hey, you and I are on next week for cantoring. Are you available? I'm out this day or whatever. Just paying attention, really filling in the gaps. He just organized this two-week training, did a phenomenal job. And he loves to do it. He loves it. He gets excited about it. Like, you could rip my eyelashes out, and it would be less painful to me than having to do that. I just can't focus, organize, figure out deep, just a mess for me. So... and then it's just really fruitful. He really catches everything, and it's a beautiful thing. So these ordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit that he enhances in us, things like service, as I was just describing, teaching. Some people are really gifted, again, in a way that goes beyond just a natural talent. And natural talents and spiritual gifts can come together as well. Exhortation, contribution. Did you ever think about that as a spiritual gift? You know, the kinds of people who fund things in the church. To whom do you give? How much do you give? When do you give? There's a discernment there. And there are people who are really gifted at it. They really get, like, I'm going to give a lot of money to this because I believe the Holy Spirit's asking me to do that. I'm going to contribute a little bit more to this second collection today because the Holy Spirit's asking me to do that. There's a spiritual gift that's there. God hasn't given me any money to actually find out if I had that spiritual gift. But anyway, maybe some of you. Administration. Crucial. I love people with that gift who love to do it. That's the beautiful thing. Instead of me pulling my teeth out to try and make things happen that still don't work out well. Acts of mercy. And then even things like marriage and celibacy, ordained ministry, and these are all spiritual gifts. Hierarchy, ordained priesthood, bishops, successors of the apostles, they're spiritual gifts. We're all meant to work together. Visions, revelations, exorcisms, intercession. Some people are powerful intercessors. It's not a gift that I have, honestly. I pray for people, I pray for things, and I don't know, the Lord listens to me maybe. He humors me from time to time. Mostly he doesn't care what I think. But some people like pray for somebody and stuff happens. It's amazing. They're tuned into that. It's a spiritual gift. Got to be open to that. Hospitality, beautiful gift. Music, got some sisters here. We didn't introduce the sisters at dinner. These are the Franciscan TOR sisters from Steubenville, for those of you who don't know them. And I just could not be more grateful that they are here. They know how much of my heart that they have. So the four who are joining us, you'll get to know them. Sister Joan Paul and Sister Elizabeth, Sister Sarah Rose, and Sister Maria Pio. Beautiful sisters. The whole community is beautiful. But a number of them have that gift of song, which is as a supernatural. They have natural talents. They develop those things. I don't think any of them learned to, like, suddenly woke up and started playing the guitar. I'm amazing. This is incredible. They work at it, but, you know, there's a supernatural fruitfulness. There's something that comes together. There's a sense of praying with people that's beyond just the mechanics of making music. These spiritual gifts, voluntary poverty, and also the spiritual gift of martyrdom. Sign up for that one. So a lot of different ways, and none of these are comprehensive lists, but the point is, we're not going to have a new evangelization if we're not open to spiritual gifts. The church is clear about it in Lumen Gentium. They are for the building and renewal, upbuilding and renewal of the church. We have to be open. Have to be open to let the Holy Spirit do things in us that are beyond what we can do on our own. And that's where we come into the scriptures. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels. And that's the key, to know both of those very, very well. Those are your two goals for this weekend. Discover the treasure. I just was talking about all these treasures, gifts, all these gifts, treasures that God wants to fill us with. Discover the treasure and get in touch with the earthen vessel. Get in touch with the earthen vessel, because all of us are fragile. All of us are broken. All of us are limited. That's why we start every Mass calling to mind our sins, because we all have them. We all have weaknesses. The most dangerous thing, the next sentence in Lumen Gentium actually has a bad translation. So if you look up Lumen Gentium 12, remember there's a word missing in the next line. It says, these extraordinary gifts should not be sought out, that's where the word is missing, rashly. Should not be sought out rashly. Because why do we seek out gifts rashly? Sometimes because we want gifts to cover up our weaknesses, or gifts to cover up our insecurities, or gifts to make us feel better about ourselves, or gifts to make us feel like we have some identity and we have some importance and our life has some value. It's not the reason to seek out spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are for others. Spiritual gifts are for the service and upbuilding of the church, not for ourselves, not for our ego, not for our pride. Know the earthen vessel. Come to know the earthen vessel. And you can't lose either of them. Some of us know the earthen vessel too well, and we've decided that it's not a good idea for God to put treasures in it. And so we close it up and we throw it away. The earthen vessel is meant to be filled with treasures. And the treasures only fit in an earthen vessel. We've got to know both of those. And so there's simultaneously discovering the amazing things that God can do in us and our own personal weakness. We discover them both at the same time. And we can't lose either of them or we get off balance. And that's how I hear the gospel too. There's a danger in that gospel when we hear about if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Sometimes we try to take control over our weakness. Even to the point that I want to take some violence toward myself. I want to do something radical to stop myself. I want to take control over my life. It's not what the Lord is talking about here. First of all, it's knowing what causes us to sin. Now, our eye and our hand actually never cause us to sin. In case you haven't noticed it, your hand's never done anything without your choosing it. Your hand's connected to your brain. The brain gets involved in the sin. We can't sin without our will. Our eye and our hand don't sin on their own, because it's not sin unless your will is involved. But to know how weak we are, that's the point. To know that I'm too weak to look. I'm too weak to reach out. And I have to admit that. And I love when people come to the point of knowing their weakness. It's one of the reasons I always say the holiest people I know are in 12-step programs. Because people in 12-step programs know their weakness and they're honest about it. A friend of mine went to an AA meeting and was telling me about this guy, anonymously, obviously. But he said, you know, kind of old grizzled guy, been in AA for a long time. And he said, telling about the last time that he went on a drinking binge and the kind of stuff that he did, the way that he destroyed his life, the way that he destroyed his relationships, the way that he lost his job, the way that he wasted his money, and the way that he nearly got arrested. And then, thank God, he hit rock bottom and he came back and entered into AA, and he's telling people, he said, you know, I know I got another run in me like that, but what I don't know is if I have what I need to turn back again. That's why I can't make that run. I'm tempted sometimes, but I can't go there because I don't know if I could turn back again. That's so beautiful. And I love that movie, A Beautiful Mind, about John Nash, who has schizophrenic, has imaginary friends. He's working out these whole, like, top secret schemes, all this crazy mathematics, brilliant professor, and just crashes. It gets on medication, gets better, gets off the medication, nearly kills his own baby. Gets on the medication and has finally gotten to the point that he just has to admit he can't even trust his own mind. There's this beautiful scene at the end of the movie. He comes out of his classroom and he's just a very humbled guy. He had been like supercharged and doing all this crazy stuff. And he's just at the end of the movie, just real humble. Comes out of the classroom and there's a reporter there and he says, "Are you Professor Nash?" And he looks at him. And then he turns to the student who's with him and he says, "Is he real?" And the student goes, "Yes, professor, he's real." And he turns back to him and he says, "I'm sorry, I just have to check these things out." He knows that he can't even trust his five senses. He can't trust his own mind. Earthen vessels, we're all earthen vessels. And some of the interpretations of the fathers of the church on this passage say, if your eye causes you to sin, and it's not talking about the physical eye then, they take a spiritual interpretation, they say, if there's a particular thought pattern that you start taking, you start looking in a certain direction in your thoughts, and you know that's a bad direction, can't go there. Maybe other people can go there, but I can't go there. Maybe other people can have a drink. I can't have a drink. Maybe other people can trust when they see someone in front of them that that's a real person. I can't do that. We just have to know our weakness. Know that I can't even look there. And they said about the hand, that's the first gesture of an action. Sometimes I can't take the first step. I can't take that drink. Sometimes I can't take the first step. I can't go into that bar. Sometimes I can't take the first step. I can't start that conversation. I know if I get in that conversation, it's not going to go well for me. A little bit of the AA wisdom that anger is the dubious luxury of the sober person. But for us, it's not possible. We have to know where our weaknesses are and be honest with ourselves. Then we're in a position to receive treasures. God wants to fill us with those treasures. So both at the same time, our own weakness and the realization that God wants to do amazing things in us. I'll just close with a beautiful story. I had a chance last fall, actually, with Sister Maria Pio and Sister Joan Paul to be with Father Richard McAleer, who's been a priest in healing ministry for about 50 years. And I said, well, how'd you get into this healing ministry? Because, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I want the gift of healing, right? A lot of times it's for the wrong reason. And in fact, he tells people when they want a gift of healing, he says, why don't you ask for the gift of compassion? It's a better starting point. Ask for the gift of compassion. Because too often healing, we think, I want to heal people. That sounds about like it's about me, doesn't it? More than it's really about others. So I said, so how did you get into healing ministry? He said, well, it was early in the charismatic renewal. We were going to a charismatic prayer meeting. None of us really knew what we were doing, but there was one woman who was a little bit more familiar with the charismatic prayer and the spirit and everything. Anyway, there was a woman that had some severe medical problem come up in the middle of the meeting, and we were calling an ambulance. We were getting ready to rush her to the hospital, and this one woman that kind of knew what she was doing, he was ordained for a year at that point. Just a newly ordained priest, clueless, no idea what he's doing, earthen vessel, you know. And she grabs him by the sleeve and goes, heal her. He goes, what? Heal her. He goes, how do I do that? And she goes, pray over her. Do what? Give her a blessing. So he just comes up, earthen vessel, you know. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the woman goes, I'm healed. And Father McAleer goes, and then slipped out the side door. Earthen vessel. God wants to do great things with us, in spite of us. If we'll just give him an open door, even to give a blessing, even to pray, even to extend a hand, even to give a word, if we're willing to get out of ourselves and just make a gesture, God can do amazing things. That's what he wants to do. And that's what we really need to spread the gospel. Because people in our day who believe only in science also need a sign. And you could be that sign. A sign that someone needs, that there is more to this world than what you can measure with scientific instruments. That there is a God who is with us and who loves us. So let us receive him and worship him and love him and invite him to fill us with his own life and with the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we celebrate this Eucharist.